little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So presentation with possible polycystic ovarian syndrome is our next scenario. We're going to talk to Trudy about her symptoms. She's read an article in the Mail and she's not having periods very often, so we're going to talk to Trudy about her symptoms. Trudy, I wonder if it's okay if I can just ask you a little bit more to get a better feel for what's going on at the moment. So I'm going to ask you some questions that might link to your fear of having this problem called polycystic ovarian syndrome. How often are your periods coming on?
Oh, well, sometimes it's sort of 3 to 4 months, doctor. I mean, I really I probably have about 4 a year.
Okay. Are you troubled with your skin or with hair at all?
Yeah, well, my skin's never been great. You know, I did have acne as a teenager and it's never really sort of settled down. And, well, I do I sort of bleach my upper lip.
Okay. So you're conscious of it? You're not affected with baldness at all?
No.
Not at all, okay. And a hairiness just on your face or elsewhere?
Well, I mean, everywhere else I just shave as normal women would, but I guess here it's just the lip, you know, that yeah. I think's maybe not
more than you would normally expect, okay. Have you ever had an ultrasound scan done of your ovaries or any blood test to check your hormone levels?
No, not so far.
No, okay. For today, is it okay if I perhaps check your weight, do your blood pressure, and then we'll have a closer look at your face and maybe your tummy just to see how the hair is affecting you. Would that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got a scenario where we're thinking that there's quite a probability that she's got polycystic ovarian syndrome. So we're going to play through a provide alternative that you might give to her. Why don't you take a listen at this stage to an audio recording that I've put online on realgeneralpractice.co.uk about the choices that you have at this stage and what we could potentially do for you to help manage your problem with polycystic ovarian syndrome. I think you're probably right. I think that's probably the problem. Potentially, you might wish to focus on improving your chances of getting pregnant. Possibly, you might want to keep your risk of getting type 2 diabetes to a minimum. Maybe hairiness is a worry to you and that's something that you want to tackle, or maybe you want help with your skin, or perhaps we need to be helping you make sure that you don't develop endometrial cancer. Certainly, unless you're having at least 4 periods a year, your risk of getting endometrial cancer is higher, and your lifetime risk if you're not having regular periods is about 9% as opposed to the normal population risk of much lower, which is about 3%. So it really is worthwhile making sure that you're having periods at least 4 times a year. So from examining you today, your blood pressure is fine. Your average blood sugar, I can see that the nurse has done that quite recently. That was quite normal. But we ought to support you with your weight and help keep an eye on your weight, your blood pressure, and your blood sugar. And maybe we could perhaps do that every 3 years as a matter of keeping an eye on things. How does that sound for you?
Yeah, that sounds okay, doctor. Mm-hmm.
So maybe you take our patient through safety netting for where do they go from here in the future.
Yeah, okay. So there's a few things that it's worth sort of looking out for and thinking about for the future when you've got likely polycystic ovarian syndrome. So do let me know if you start to get baldness, like a male pattern baldness really, or if your voice deepens. And if you start getting easy bruising or stretch marks for no reason, or you find that your blood pressure's high when it's checked, then we should see you as well. Like we said, it's important to have 4 or more periods a year to protect you against endometrial cancer. So if you're not having at least 4 a year, then you should let us know. And if you start having any other abnormal bleeding, like bleeding after sex or random bleeding in between your periods, then we should see you and examine you, okay?
Okay.
I mean, there's things to think about around pregnancy. If you were trying to get pregnant and you didn't manage within a year, then you can let us know, because sometimes, you know, women do need some input from gynaecology to help around getting pregnant with PCOS.
So we've given some guidance related to having a regular period, but really what matters is the protection of the endometrium, so the lining of the womb needs to be protected from developing endometrial cancer. And that could be done in different ways. So two potential ways of doing that would be to provide the progestogen directly into the womb, so that could be done in the form of a marina coil. But there's every reason to suspect that implants or regularly given progesterone tablets would do that job too, although we're a little bit uncertain about the mini pill. But there could be a regime to give a withdrawal bleed, because presumably most of these women will have estrogen around, and you can give a regular dose, maybe every 3 months, of a progesterone to stimulate a withdrawal bleed, and that's a potential way of doing that too. You got any experience of doing that?
I think you can. I'm not sure actually I've had to do it for anybody, but I certainly learned about it, and yeah. They always say, you know, community guy, and they always say you can do that.
I've never initiated that myself.
No, I don't know that I actually have since I've been back in GP. Most of the women that I have been seeing with PCOS are wanting to have pregnancies. I mean, I've done more in the way of fertility referrals, I think, for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest lady, she's trying, and I've had to refer her.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.